This is the Author Podcast series on ISTEcast, and today we're speaking with Chris Bouguet and Sally Norton-Darr, authors of The Practical and Fun Guide to Assistive Technology in Public Schools, Building or Improving Your District's AT Team. Chris and Sally, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Now, I'd like to start with a question that's probably on a lot of people's minds. Why is this book a practical and fun guide?
Well, I'll take the practical part answer, and I'll let Chris fill in the fun part. Practically speaking, we think that this guide is going to help people that have assistive technology needs and that they are members of or potential members of teams or asked to address the needs of students in public schools with regards to assistive technology. And we think that a lot of people have questions about assistive technology everywhere we go. We hear that there's teams just starting up, so we hope that we've given some practical answers to questions that are prevalent among AT team members and AT team formers and things like that.
And then the fun part of it is that everything we do in our professional lives, we try and have some fun with it. In fact, when we do staff development workshops or we go out and do consultations, we're trying to build relationships with teachers, and we find that by having fun and trying to inject a sense of humor to what we do, it gives better results. Plus, when you're reading a textbook, it always feels like a chore. Like, okay, I know it's like taking your medicine. I really need this content, so I'm going to read this book, and sometimes it feels like work when reading books should be fun. We tried to put analogies and stories and different kind of interesting concepts into the book so that it would be fun to read and keep people turning pages.
Yeah, I think Chris and I both agreed that when we got out of college, we never wanted to pick up a textbook again. So we tried to bring this as far away from that venue as possible. Not that you couldn't use it in a class. I think it do a lot of students well to read it, but it's fun and it's easy to read and hopefully it's engaging. That's what we were aiming for in the fun part.
Yeah, it's the medicine that has the bubblegum flavor.
Now, why did you decide to write this book? I know this is what you do every day. You're both assistive technology trainers, but why write a book about it?
Well, I think, as I alluded to before, we've been fortunate to be able to get to go to some conferences. So we meet up with people that are in other parts of the state or other parts of the country that are also working with assistive technology. And now Dick, Chris, and I have been doing it 7 or 8 years, and invariably we hear common concerns among, no matter where they're coming from, no matter whether it's an organization that's run from a state center or from a county or from just a school district or however, a lot of people seem to face the same kinds of questions that Chris and I faced with our team when it was forming. And I think we've gotten through those growing pains and have come out a little better. So we thought we'd try to shortcut some of those painful experiences for other people and give them a path that's maybe easier to take.
Yeah, and I would add that, like Sally said, the conferences, we still see it, especially when we were writing the book. There's online discussion forums, and now with the social media and Web 2.0, you see all these sorts of different assistive technology forums online, and the ones that we subscribe to and we participate in, it's the same questions for the last 7 years. It's still that every so often you'll see the same question. So we found what we think are answers to a lot of those questions that are working for us, and that we could kind of move forward from where we were 7 years ago, and maybe, like Sally said, help people who are starting teams or have teams and are still struggling with those same questions.
And, it's not only that. I still think that a lot of people don't know what assistive technology is. Hard is that for me to believe, but my mother for one, what is it you do again? So, and I think there's a general need for awareness of assistive technology. So that's the other reason why we made it fun as well. It's not only for the people that are in the profession, but want to know more about assistive technology. I think it works for everybody.
Your book is a guide to developing or improving an assistive technology team. So for the people that you just mentioned might not be aware of exactly what assistive technology is, can you define assistive technology and then assistive technology teams for us?
Sure. Well, we probably, for the audience, it's probably best to give you the cocktail party answer to that.
Sure.
When Sally and I are out socially and somebody asks, hey, what do you do? And we tell them assistive technology, and they go, well, what's that? What we kind of tell them is that assistive technology is really just the tools or technology and tools, we use those as synonyms, but the tools that we use to help students in special education meet their educational goals. And it's not just the tools, but it's also the services that we provide to get them to use those tools. So that's kind of the definition, the layman's term definition. I mean, you could look up the actual definition, you know, in the law, and there is one, and it's referenced in the book.
Yeah, I think what people forget, though, is it's more than just the tool. It's actually the ability to, in the service that's part of the law. So that's what takes in the training and the tailoring to meet the needs of the student. And sometimes I think that part of the service part is the fun part of the job. You know, the tool is just a tool, but the service part is the fun and making it your own and making it special for the student.
And then as far as the team goes, in that all over the country, there's different models about how assistive technology are being done. I mean, in some places, there's no assistive technology person even. Maybe it's a speech therapist that they're asking to do assistive technology, do assistive technology evaluations or consultations above and beyond the responsibilities that they already have. And then you have models where there's a team of 10 people like Sally and I are on. So you have this whole range of different possibilities, and that's just two of many, many other models. So when we say assistive technology team and when we reference assistive technology team in the book, we're really talking about, I mean, if you're the one person you're the one assistant technology person in your school district, then this book is for you. You're the AT team. But if you're one of, 50 people on a team, well, then this book is for you because it's for an assistant technology team. And all the policies and procedures discussed in there are for every sort of model.
Yeah, I think we even mentioned it. It could be a team of one. So we hope we've met those needs for everybody because I think what we discuss in the book is something, there's something there for everyone.
Now, do you have any tips for someone that is interested in building an AT team? Maybe they are the one person in the AT team, but they'd like to have a bigger team. Do you have any tips you could tell them or what first steps they need to take?
Yeah, well, the way we like to think of it here is kind of to draw an analogy is that when we're looking at students, you have every student in special education has some sort of plan that they have, and in that plan there are goals that they're trying to achieve. So that same holds true for an assistive technology team, is where you would have, where do we want to go from, if there is no team, then maybe the first goal is how do I establish a team? What are our policies, procedures going to be? But those would be the, setting a goal for the end of the school year is where do you want to try to accomplish? And then every choice you make is geared towards those one or two goals.
I guess it's, in popular terms now these days, it's kind of a mission statement, but I think you really need to put a goal in sight to keep you on the right path to get there. And we have a chapter in the book, of course, that talks about this, and we've sort of brought to the surface some of those questions that we struggled with in our first years, in our founding years, and that might help people or a person determine, oh, yeah, that's what I need to think about. So we may be able to offer some guidance through a chapter in the book on exactly that, those kinds of questions, is how to form a team and what do I need and what are my priorities.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you asked was, what's a tip someone we could give? I mean, for instance, one big misnomer that I think many administrators might have is that okay, if I had an assistive technology team, that would cost me so much more money because I'd have to pay for the team. So, and in the book we talk about how really the team, if it's done right, can actually save the school district money in that you're not buying technology that's not being used or it's the wrong technology for students, but you have people that are kind of vetting those choices so that you're streamlining it and making sure that the technology that you're buying is the appropriate technology.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to educate people. And we do a lot of that, and for many reasons. It helps people realize that assistive technology can be in every classroom in one form or another. So there's a lot of ways to sell yourself, and let people know what assistive technology is. And that helps you gain support, too, because it's so beneficial to not only students in special education, but there's kind of a runover effect that it really touches all the students, and it helps everybody learn a little easier, hopefully.
Now, how about tips for an AT team? Somebody, or, you know, group of people that are already an AT team, but they want to improve what they're doing. Do you have recommendations or tips?
Yeah, of course we do. You know, I think number one, and this is what I hear so much, is that people have their hands tied because there's, of course, not enough time in the day. That's the number one complaint. If I had time, I'd do that. I wish I had time. Well, here's our tip number one, and we'll hear cheers. You'll hear cheers when we say, don't go to IEP team meetings. Yes, I can hear them now. I think that really holds people back, and it's true. An IEP team needs to be aware of the assistive technology, but in order for the team to address those needs, they need to know about it. So we do our preparation and homework ahead of time, but we don't attend every IEP meeting, because if you do, you'd never do anything else but attend IEP meetings.
Right. We spend our time more educating the teachers, making them aware of the assistive technology that's already available in their classroom. They might not already know it exists. By focusing our time there, we really empower the teacher to become the assistive technology professional or expert in their own classroom. The other big tip that I would say is to cut that. The other big thing that I think as other assistive technology trainers out there in the country or in the world would say is they're spending so much time writing evaluations. Huh? You know, go out, see a student, write up the report, and how long does that take? And that's one of the big things we've been able to do on our team is to cut back the number of evaluations we've had to do by doing a consultation model. In fact, the way it works in 50 words or less is we just have a conversation with teachers. Whenever they have a concern about a student, call us. Don't write anything down. Don't do any paperwork. Just call us. We'll start a conversation with you, and that's how we start our services.
Yeah, in fact, we like to spend as much time as we can out in the schools and not out in an office, you know, but even if we have paperwork to do to try to be school-based in a way. I mean, not that I have an office in one school, but invariably when I'm in a school, I'll see some of the teachers and they'll say, oh, I've been meaning to ask you, Sally. And right there, by me being there and me answering that question, I probably just shortcutted an evaluation that might have been down the way and might have been bubbling up in somebody's head that doesn't really come to the surface until the IEP meeting or something like that. But I think we try to have as much face time with our with the teachers and staff in the schools.
Now, last but not least, I want to get back to the fun part. Because in your book, you have some really great analogies. You talk about clones and alien attacks and, you know, using a story about assistive technology tools at a tattoo parlor. I like that one. So I was wondering if you had any fun stories for anyone today.
Well, yeah.
Let me see.
Which one first, Allie?
we did a little thinking about this. I'll tell you my heartwarming story. When it was just this week, I worked with a little boy who has some learning issues and has a really difficult time organizing his thoughts and paying attention and writing.
I've never heard of that student.
Never heard of that student, right?
That's the only student in the country that has that problem.
And a couple of the things I suggested was that he had a lot of great ideas and really good verbal skills, but just couldn't get them down on paper, so I suggested that he record his voice into a Microsoft Word document. And he's a third grader, and he just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And then we also talked about maybe using a little portable word processor, because writing is very difficult, physically difficult for him. Well, he was so thrilled. We had such a good time with him. And it turned from a student who came to me with just thinking I was a principal or something, absolutely in fear, like, who is this and what have I done wrong, to just elated with the tools that we had brought him. And in fact, he asked me, I said, you can go share this with the classmates in your room. And he said, oh, I could be the captain of the team. And I said, you sure can. And he was walking on air when he left the room. So that was kind of fun. So that's one of the stories we have.
And that's one of, like, hundreds of success stories we have of students using technology. And that's, like Sally said, that's kind of, you know, stuff that's already available in the classroom that he's using. Now, on the other side of that is the team aspect, and that when we have a new assistive technology team, Sally and I have been on the team for a long time, so we've seen a couple of new people come in. Part of it is the hazing process. You got to haze new people on the team. So one of the things that Sally and I did was to take a plate switch, which is, if you picture like a light switch, but it's flat and it has a wire, and we took this flat switch and we hooked it up, we put it underneath this one, our new team member's rug. So whenever he would sit down in his chair, the light that he, by his desk would flick on and off. So he would roll his chair like a little forward, he would hit the switch, it would go on and off, on and off. Because it was under his desk, he didn't know what he was doing. He was just sitting in his chair. The light kept going on and off and on and off. And it drove him nuts for at least a day. And Sally and I just kept looking at each other like, yeah. So that's the kind of, like, practical jokes you need to pull on people when you're in an assistive technology.
Oh yeah. Here's another one. Now, Chris is famous for his practical jokes, but you have to imagine that we had this huge, big push in our county. And we have a big county. So this big piece of software is coming in, and they're rolling out to help write IEPs. And it's major, and we go to training for weeks, and then there's meetings and more meetings, and really it doesn't get up and run until about 2 years later. And by that time, I mean, tensions are high.
Everyone's waiting.
And so to help teachers through this process, they've established a help desk. So after school, you can call this help desk if you have questions. Well, guess who gets to be the first one on this help desk? And meanwhile, we've been trained 2 years before that. So I'm the first person on the help desk. And I'm a little nervous because I've never really done this before. And I know it's important, and there's a lot riding on this big software because we spent a lot of money on it. And so I get first call. I think, well, everybody's fine. I won't get a single call. I don't have to worry. Everything will be fine.
No one's going to call on the first day, right?
Well, how many calls did I get, Chris?
Maybe 15, 20.
Yeah, all from the same number, but Chris had disguised his voice. He had pretended. He called me 15 times in this an hour and a half period, all with different problems or complaints, disguising his voice, and he'd hang up. And I think, oh, Chris, and I hang up, and I think, okay, that was funny. And then it would ring again, and I get all upset, because I think, oh, no, somebody needs me, and then it was Chris again.
So I did that 15 times in a row, and it totally ruined her night.
Yeah, so as I'm driving home, the only way to get back is sweet revenge, right? So I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? How do I get him back? And, like a vision, it was just clear to me that this was my first chance to really deliver a pie in the face. So, and I've always wanted to do that, and I couldn't think of anybody that deserved it more. So if you go to our fan page on Facebook, you'll see some evidence of the fact that I got some sweet revenge.
Yeah, Sally hit me in the face with a pie.
That's worth a look. Well, Chris and Sally, thank you so much for joining us today and talking with us, and we look forward to seeing your book.
Thanks
Megan.